A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 1st of December 2020, Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing with our sharing from the book. The essence of infinite meanings is from the Sutra on Infinite Meaning or Sutra on Innumerous Meaning. Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 50. So we will continue from there afterwards. But before we move on, just now I have a look. I will go back one page, maybe page 49, because that paragraph is very important. That paragraph introduces the teaching to us. So I will go through with you. So as usual, before we start the class, we shall have our half an hour of silent inner awareness meditation. So you're off the light. Then I will set the alarm and you can have your meditation. So as usual, the four support: relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize that awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours. Yeah? Then the last support is trust. So you don't have to do anything. You only need to relax completely, body and mind. No need to do anything. No need to know. Just relax, body and mind. Then maintain awareness. Just maintain awareness away for as long as you can. This is the most important training. You can stabilize your awareness, then you will realize your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind. That is the mind that can meditate. That is what Hui Ning say. Go to the mind that has no thought. Wu Nian, the first hallmark of Hui Ning's teaching, is to realize the awareness nature, which is without thought, aware, silent, completely. Then use that to meditate. Use that to develop understanding. That is your awareness nature. That is the nature that can develop the ability to observe, to understand, and to awaken. That is your true mind, your meditative mind, the mind that is silent, completely tranquil, still, and quiet. Its nature is just aware. Finish. Because it's just aware, it is not lost in thought. It cannot create sankhara activity. It cannot be deluded. It cannot be deceived. So this is the mind that can understand and develop the awakening, the understanding. All Dhamma arises from one. You must understand this. Otherwise, you cannot follow the teaching. This is a very profound, unique understanding of the Sutra Innumerous Meaning. How things arise. From one comes infinity. Before that one start, there was nothing. That's why the original nature, the source of all things, thing is just the way it is. That is the beginning. Then from there, from zero, the void, that one arise. Then from one comes infinity. That's how it transforms. So we can understand it in many ways. Here they use the word one Dhamma. All Dhamma arise from one Dhamma. One can give rise to all Dhamma. That's why from zero come one, one comes infinity. This is the essence of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. If you are a true cultivator, you can understand this very easily, because this is the deep meaning of dependent origination. The law of dependent origination. Condition arising phenomena, causal phenomena. We live in a conditioned world, where condition trigger phenomena and event. So the conditioned world has its law, has its boundary condition. The nature's law that governs life and existence, they are all set. So when you understand this, you will understand how things come to be. So here, the sutra say the one Dhamma is the Dhamma of the mind, which is true. That's the reason why the Buddha say mind is the foreign of all things. When mind arise, all things arise. That's why originally is the oneness nature, the original nature, the source of all things. Before that, there were nothing. Then everything arises from there. All Dhamma arises from there. We are from that nature. The mundane mind arises. The first thought of ignorance arises. And that's how it continues until today. So according to the Buddha, he said, inconceivable is the first thought of ignorance that condition living being to what they are now. Is beyond the comprehension of normal beings. That's why inconceivable is the beginning of that arising of that single thought of ignorance. So when you understand that the one Dhamma is the Dhamma of the mind, then it becomes easy. So in truth, according to the sutta, ignorance fundamentally does not exist in our mind, because originally there was none of all this. Only when the six sense organ, means the sense bases, come in contact with the external sense objects or sense data, external sense bases. Of course, you need the mind to interact, do the affliction of greed, hatred, and delusion, including arrogance and doubt arise. If we can constantly reflect on our own mind and awaken our pure intrinsic nature within to eliminate our affliction, then we need not be afraid of ignorance clouding our mind. The Buddha Dhamma is not difficult to learn. All of the sutras and discourses teaches the same principle, to treat each other with genuine and pure heart and see through and eradicate past ignorance and affliction to restore the purity of the mind. So ignorance comes about through delusion. When you lack wisdom, you lack understanding of truth, of the nature's law that governs life and existence, when you are unable to understand Dhamma, then there is ignorance. So ignorant of what? Ignorant of truth. Ignorant of nature's law that governs life and existence. Ignorance of who you are, what you are. How things arise. sustained by condition, and how when conditions cease to be, phenomena cease to be. So all this understanding is what right view is all about. So without this type of right view, which is wisdom, ignorance will take over. So the first thought of ignorance that clouded the primordial nature, that one is very, very fast, very swift, and just one initial, very primitive first thought that trigger off. And from there, it evolved until much, much later, where the form and mind crystallize and develop into form and mind, arising thought, then forming what they call the five aggregates of form and mind. That's how creation comes to be. Then after that, we have to mute one of the participants. I think the mic was on. Okay, we go back to the notes now. So now we will continue from where we stopped. So the previous paragraph is very important. That is the introduction of how from the one Dhamma, all Dhamma arise. And that one Dhamma is the mind Dhamma, Dhamma of the mind. Then we continue from there. Why do we need to diligently engage in spiritual practice? This is a fundamental question of cultivator. Why must you cultivate? Here they use the word diligently engage in spiritual practice, not only cultivate. Diligent means with faith and tenacity and sincerity, you diligently engage, means without pause, means you constantly engage, diligently engage in this spiritual cultivation. The reason being, the author say life is short, and our six sense door and six sense organ, they will gradually deteriorate over time as one age. Age means as you degenerate, grow old. Initially, of course, there is a growth phase when you are just born into this world. You go through the growth phase. That's why you will have the growth hormone inside you. Then you grow until puberty, then you reach your youth, then you reach the peak, the prime of your youth. Then after that, it's no more growth hormone. The growth hormone starts to reduce until you start to experience decay, old age, sickness, and finally the reality of death. So these are nature's condition. Every phenomenon, they arise, they sustain themselves by going through the growth phase and the decaying phase. Then they cease or die. The four phase cycle of a typical phenomenon. So because of that, the sutra advises, he said life is very short. For us, we thought average lifespan 70 plus or 80 years old. Or maybe you can live up to 80 plus or 90 years old. You think it's very long compared to the universal time. This is just a speck in creation. So actually, it's just a very, very short duration. Compared to eons and eons and eons of world cycles. or birth and death of living beings. So one lifespan, one segmented life is actually very short, and during that segment of life that will come, let's say average 70 plus or be around to 80 years, you have to go through the growth phase, which is the first 20 years. Then the actual youth phase, maybe another 20 years. Then when you cross 40, you start to grow old and degenerate. Then you hit the third phase, 60 years old. And then they say you are going downhill after that. So 60 to 80, a lot of things you cannot do. Your senses starts to deteriorate, fail you. A lot of things that you use to have the ability to perform and do, you are no longer able to do it. Then as you age, as you deteriorate in your senses and your health, you accumulate more and more of those life reality, disease, sickness, and health problem. Then you will confront a lot of life reality, the reality of aging, the reality of getting sick, falling sick, ill, be diseased, and confronting them. So when all this starts to surface as you age, you find it more and more difficult to endure, because physical suffering can condition mental suffering. When you are young, when you are healthy, most people, they don't have physical suffering, or physical suffering is not an issue unless they get into an accident. Or they suffered certain type of hereditary type of disease or illness. Otherwise, they are pretty healthy. Then they don't really experience old age sickness. And they seldom have any idea of death too, because to them, they just happy-go-lucky. Your childhood years, your student days, these are the happiest moments of our life if we reflect back. So during that time, we are healthy. And most people are still new to alive, to exist, and we have parents. Most of us have parents to look after us, to care for us, to sacrifice for us and to guide us. So you have those things, you are blessed, or you have guardians to take care of you. But as you go further into life, you start to experience more and more life reality and problem. Like as a student or as a kid, very easy, that life is very straightforward, but some people still complain. Actually, our childhood days and our student days are the most happy moments of our life, because most of us, technically, we don't have to worry about anything. Everything is more or less taken care of by our parents. And we also have brothers, sisters. But then, as you go through life, as you finish your education, you have to come out to work, the career phase, the relationship phase, where you have to go into life, to interact with people, to have relationship with each other, even your own family unit. Then you start to encounter more and more life reality, situation and problem. And as you go through the career life, you develop stress, you develop work pressure. Then all this create mental problems and situation. So this is what is happening to mankind, human beings, especially living beings. As you go through the growth phase, you enter the career phase, you experience all this physical suffering and mental suffering. Initially, physical suffering may not be much, but as you hit 50s, 60s, then you have more and more of this physical suffering coming in. Suffering born of the form going through old age and sickness, the decay phase. When our senses start to fail us, when we are not as healthy as we used to be. So you start to experience a lot of elderly suffering, or what they call physical suffering or deterioration of health. You start to develop pain, ache, rheumatism, then also maybe sickness. Then off and on, there will be some very traumatic experience of life and death happening. So when you go through all this phase, what I'm trying to tell you is, if you don't make use of your life condition to start early, the spiritual journey, the cultivation part, so that you can actually do it while you don't experience much mental or physical suffering, then it's easier for people to develop the cultivation to endure or do whatever you want. That time you can go for retreat, no problem. Then you can also maybe plan your time, your own personal time. That's why that is very important. It depends on your priorities in life. A lot of people's priority in life initially is, of course, to be successful. Of course, you initially strive very hard to be successful in your education, academic life, then your career. Then after that, you plan to have financial freedom. Then you go for status after that. So all these are the emphasis of human beings or living beings. And this is very natural because they equate success in the materialistic sense, academic, career, financial, authority, and all those things, can give you happiness, can give you joy, but they fail to understand the most important factor that you need to be successful in life, to have the good life, is the spiritual knowledge, the spiritual understanding. You must understand the Dhamma. So if you have understood that and move early, then you will benefit tremendously. That's how when my nature reflected back this life, how everything just happened. I started very early, very, very early. That time I was still a kid. I still don't know anything, but I already knew my nature different. I am very different, very unique. Then I like to reflect, contemplate. And when I was in Form 4, Form 5, the inquisitive mind triggered. I like to look at the heavens, into the sky, especially at night. Then I was amazed by the numbers of star system. Then as a science student, I know many things. Then I start to inquire, Who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? I am just one of the billions and billions and billions of beings. So insignificant and so minute, existing in a planet which is so small, so remote. Third planet from our this solar system, the sun. And there are countless billions and billions and billions of star systems. Each and every one could be bigger than our sun, or smaller, or medium, or about the same size. Then who am I? What am I? What is life? What is existence? So my nature pulls. Then all of a sudden, deep inside, from the heart, the answer came. You have to meditate to understand. That was the answer. Then I was convinced. I knew that was the answer. But that time, I don't even know what meditation is. I only know I have to meditate. That's why after that, 1 or 2 years later, when I was in lower six, one of my classmates' sister passed me a book, What Buddhists Believe. The first edition by Chief Reverend Case, our late Chief Reverend Case Sridharmananda. It was a very good book, What Buddhists Believe. From there, I straight away knew this is the teaching. I don't need to search anymore. That's it. I said, nobody 500 years ago, when he understand this teaching, he can summarize all his teaching into just 4 Noble Truths. So wonderful. Which to me is the secret of life. The essence of life. That is what I need. That's what I need to understand life. That's why from then onward, I remember 1971. Coming to 72, I remember. I strive on with faithfulness, non-stop, to just develop this understanding. I keep on probing. I keep on looking into this spiritual journey. Then I was maybe, you can say it's lucky, but nothing to do with luck. It's because of my past, my nature. The condition just arise, manifest, everything just fall into place. Then one by one, it happened. Then it naturally took me on this course. Then within a matter of another, I think next, I started in the year 1971, I think. I was that time. 17 years old. Then by the time 1989, another 17 more years later, my nature connect back and it realized what this teaching is all about. That's how it understand all this. Then the spiritual nature inherit from the past. That's how everything unfold and become what it is. So what I want to share with you is based on this sutra, infinite meaning. It's already mentioned our life is so short. Life is short. And your senses are gradually deteriorating over time, like what I explained. So if you don't diligently engage yourself in spiritual practice, your priority in life is still towards the wrong thing, your life will go to waste. We are this golden window is a very rare opening within your existence. This is the period where the sasana is still there, the teaching is still there, and you have the good condition to be born as a human being. That's why the Buddha emphasizes very strongly on this point. The Mahayana teaching put it very well. Is that the human form is very difficult to have. Zen sen nan de. Fo fa nan wen. So not only the human form is very difficult to have, the Buddha Dharma, the true Buddha Dharma, is even more difficult to come into contact with. Then be in this life, in this era of the sasana, we are so lucky. We already have the human birth. We somehow come into contact with the Buddha Dharma within the sasana. When these two, which are very rare, yet you are able to have it, you must strive on with heedfulness. Do not delay anymore. You must diligently engage yourself in this spiritual cultivation and practice. Do not be heedless. Strive on with heedfulness. And this is the only window where you can really make a big difference to your life, to your entire existence. And how to do it, I have already taught you the teaching, the Bodhisattva vow. Affirm yourself, develop, plant the seed of Bodhi, develop the vow, then Adhitan. And determine, invoke power of merits to have the causes and conditions for you to have this understanding, right view, life after life. Whenever you arise, whether you choose to come or you have to come, you must have this understanding. Once you have this firmly planted into your Bodhi mind, that Bodhi nature, that Bodhi mind, one nature, then that affirmation with the power of truth, power of merits, power of wholesomeness, will bring forth the causes and conditions for your form and mind to continuously have the condition to have this understanding and continue the cultivation. So that you can walk this Bodhisattva way with reasonable ease and complete the mission soon as possible. So this is the essence of what I want to share. Now I will read on. If we do not cease the present moment to perfect our spiritual cultivation, and instead let the days pass by in idleness, means lazy, we are giving up our right to make use of that time. Then even as our life in this world grows shorter, our wisdom life or the spiritual life will not develop at all. When negative karmic forces manifest, we will experience uneasiness, suffering, and helplessness because our life will be beyond our control, out of our control. Like the Buddha said, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. We have to reflect on this every day. This is one of the five daily contemplation, the last one. So if you understand this, what must you do? You have to take care of karma, isn't it? Because our life depends 100% entirely on karma. As you can see clearly from what the Buddha said, we are born of karma. We inherited everything, heir to our karma. Then we are conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So if karma plays such a great role in our life, we have to really, really understand the importance of diligently taking care of karma. How do you take care of karma? You have to follow the advice of the Buddha. We have to avoid all evil to good and purify the mind to develop wisdom so that we can really take care of karma. Only by doing so can you have the good life, so that your karmic nature will be strong, so that this karmic nature will protect you, will guide you, because we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are every moment, every instant, because of our karma. So this is the importance of that right view, that understanding of what karma means, the nature's law, the moral causation. We call it karma. You reap what you sow, do good begets goodness, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. So karmic vipaka or resultant is very important. If we don't take care of karma, you can never have any control over your life. Because without this right view in regards to law of karma, you don't know how to plan your karmic nature. You don't know how to live life. You don't know how to cultivate. You don't know how to perfect yourself. Then how are you going to confront life? You come without Dhamma understanding, without this perfection of the karmic nature, you might as well don't come. Otherwise, you become afflicted, miserable. Because without a proper karmic nature, life can be pretty miserable. Not easy to go through, not easy to endure. So this is the essence, this is the important message that my nature wants to impart to you all, so that all Kayamita can really have the understanding. So hopefully, after today's sharing, the message really sink in. I have emphasized on this on many occasions, I believe. Even at almost all the retreat, our annual retreat, and off and on during our sharing, all this are being taught and emphasized. So hopefully, after today's sharing is very important, but today one is the complete big picture. From the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, it covers every aspect of the teaching. And it shows to us the importance of diligently engaging ourselves in the spiritual practice. Never be heedless. That's why the final Parinibbana, the final message before the Buddha's Parinibbana, is just strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena sampadita hitonamam. Do not be heedless. So that shows the importance of cultivation, cultivating the Dhamma, the spiritual cultivation. Engage yourself to cultivate diligently. Okay, we will now go on with the sharing. Here they repeat what I told you just now. It is precious to be born human and hear the Buddha Dhamma. You say this is a direct translation, but the Mandarin version sound better. Ren sheng nan de fo fa nan wen. So this direct translation is not so meaningful and so accurate. So, 人生难得. So, It's very rare to be born a human, but they use this word precious. It's like very rare, very precious. Dẫn sơ nán tờ, then phó phò nán vẫn, vẫn miss to hear the true teaching. Who knows how long we have been transmigrating in the sixth realm? Actually, this sixth realm refer to the 31 plane of existence. Liu tao lun hui. The Mahayana actually summarize the 31 plane into just six realm, because the final realm, they call it the heavenly realm, Tian Fa Jie, encompasses the six Deva realm, the 16 Brahma realm, and the four formless realm. So 6 plus 16 is 22. 22 plus the 4, 26. Then you got 5 more realm down there. That's why it's add up to 31. So the 5 more realm starts with the human realm, the highest among the 5 realm down there. Then below the human realm is for the 4 other realm. The Buddha called the woeful state, the suffering realm. Below the human realm is the demon realm. Then you have the animal realms. Then you have the hungry ghost or pitta realm. Then finally is the hell realm. The hell realm is the most severe. A lot of suffering within that realm. So when they refer to the sixth realm, means liu tao lun hui, because you continuously take birth, birth and death, birth and death. You can only arise within the sixth realm or 31 plane of existence. So here it say, who knows how long you have been migrating in the sixth realm. Since we can hear the Buddha Dharma in this line, we should seize the opportunity. We should seize the time we have to take the Dharma to heart, work to awaken our inner Buddha nature, and gradually brighten our inner light. So this is the message. But what I share with you take you beyond this, not only enlightenment in the here and now, this life, but to develop that understanding, to take the vow, to plant the seed of Bodhi, so that you can continue with the cultivation following the Bodhisattva way, and affirm yourself during this sasana of the way. Means this understanding is very important, very, very rare and very profound. So if you can do it, then all your future existence will be taken care of. Then I will read on. As more of the Buddha Dharma enters our heart, our inner light will increase in brightness, and our wisdom light will grow. This is very true. Then we can be like the precocious child or children. We see who are able to realize 10 things after hearing only one. Some may say they learn it in the past life. This means they have internalized the teaching they heard in the past. So this one is not easy to understand. Only for those who have gone through this experience can they understand. So here when they say they learn it in the past life, means somehow your nature will know. This is something you can just understand so fast. It's like something you have already understood before, but this life you never learned. Then how come it can happen? How come it can be this way? So according to the author, he said, which means that they have internalized the teaching they heard in the past. Here, internalized means they have stabilized their understanding. And it has become like a part of their nature. That's why whenever they arise, when there is condition, they will understand immediately. They will awaken like Huining. Once he heard truth, the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling. He awakens straight away. He no need to wait for teacher to explain. The merchant who recited it don't even understand what that sutra is, the Diamond Sutra. But Huining, the woodcutter, the ignorant woodcutter who didn't even attend school, illiterate, the moment he heard that stanza, he awakened. So these are the understanding that you will develop if you have cultivated before in the past. And this life you come, or in future life when you come, you can have this sudden understanding. That's why my nature knew. All this, a lot of things that I share with you, I never learned this life. Then how did I have the understanding? How did my nature have the understanding? Because it's after I connect, then I inherit from my past cultivation, spiritual nature. That one you can only inherit after you have meditated and connected to your true mind, your true nature. Without that connection, you cannot inherit. Very difficult, unless your nature in the past is very special, like Huining. He came to this world in such perfect state. He was born without the mundane mind, so extraordinary. That's why he straight away knew what that thing was. For my case, I knew the first 6 years before I go to school, primary school, my mind was like blank, nothing inside there. Very cute, very naive. Yeah, I try to recall, I can't recall anything. It was like, I only knew it was beautiful. Like a baby seeing things as they are. That mind is so clear, without anything. Then my parents transfer their business back to Hatostar. That's where I got myself introduced to a new environment. And in that environment, it so happened that small village is a notorious area where a lot of notorious things actually happened. They have all sorts of people. Simple people, complicated people, and there is also the village that is famous or notorious for a lot of gangster and gang fight everything. And I grew up in such environment. That's how my mundane mind starts to get conditioned. And it's for me to see, for me to develop the understanding. And how later on when I went to school, how come into play, how I was the only child within the family of 9 brothers and sisters sent to the English school. All my other brothers and sisters, they went to Mandarin school, Chinese educated school, only me. And my father took the trouble to send me to the best school in Kedah, Alostar. That's how I ended. It's coming. Everything was conditioned, meant to be. And how I grew up, how things become what it is until today, you can look back. It has to do with coming, conditioning, vows, aspiration, understanding. Without all this, life can never be so perfect and so beautiful. That's the reason why at one stage of my cultivation, the nature like tell me, the law of karma is so powerful, the nature's law is so powerful, you cannot go against. That's the way it is. It will keep on showing to you until you have to believe it. Like in the Hokkien proverb, you really have that type of understanding. That's why when all these things unfold, my nature starts to reflect, contemplate, then it knew. And I didn't do anything technically. I just echo and flow and everything just happened and arise, because the condition was set for all these things to unfold. And I used to share with some Kayumita and even my wife and my children, even ask you to plan, give you the power to plan your life. You cannot plan it so beautifully as what that nature has actually pre-planned or unfold for you through your understanding, your vow, your perfection, everything. Oh, it's just amazing. Things just happen. Even if you were to plan your own life, you cannot be so perfect as what has unfolded. So that is the really amazing part. Then I also used to share, sometimes I look back on my life, like they call it the biography. It's really so fantastic. That's why sometimes I say, you may think it's a fairy tale, and sometimes I share or relate this thing. But it's really even more fantastic than what you believe to be fairy tale. Fairy tale also actually not so amazing. But what really happened is really, really amazing. So this is something that you will come to understand when you perfect yourself, when you walk the Dhamma way, the Bodhisattva way, to cultivate this teaching, this perfection. That's the reason why it's so beautiful. To internalize the teaching, we must always carry the Buddha in our heart and live out the Dhamma in our action. This is very true. Having the Buddha Dhamma in your heart and to live out the Dhamma in our daily life or daily activity, actions, means the Dhamma has become a part of us, part of our nature. And then you can internalize it. Means this understanding will follow you life after life. Because if this life you have understood it so deeply, so perfectly, so strongly, means you have stabilized the understanding until it has become part of your nature. Until that whole teaching is already within you. You hold the embodiment of the teaching, the understanding. That's the reason why when my teacher came, like technically I don't really need teacher. I don't really need people to teach me. What I need is truth. The moment I hear truth, I understand. And my nature know how to scream truth. It will not get itself entangled and very strange. That's why even though my life, I was exposed to a lot of other type of teaching and all those things. But those teachings that are not relevant or not useful, not important, my nature cannot get entangled. Especially those funny teaching, thought-based, and also energy field, psychic field. My nature doesn't touch any of those practice or cultivation. It just know what to do. Of course, mindfulness or anapanasati, the in and out breath, was a very, very stable practice that I inherited. And later on from there, a lot of things unfold. That mindfulness was like very natural to me later on, because I realized a lot of things that I have developed even when I was very young. I can see them. I still remember that during my childhood day, when I was alone sitting on a bench outside, sometime in school or sometime in the badminton court, the open air badminton court, then in the midst of nature, I will observe nature. Then I can see the flow of nature. That time I don't know what it is. I can see all those plants, the trees, the leaves, everything. They are like flowing. And I was, in a way, amazed. How come my mind can see all those things and keep on observing it the way it, like my nature can flow with it? But that time I don't know what mindfulness is, what sati is. And I don't even know what this thing is until later on when I grew up and developed the meditation. Then when my mindfulness came back to me, when I connect back, then I start to understand all these things. Then I start to understand what is phenomenal awareness, specific phenomenal awareness, which the book never teach, nobody teach. Then spacious awareness without a center. All this, I have to find my own words to describe to you what that nature is. Then the awareness nature also, very few people can understand. What is that true mind? People use the word, but very few people understand what that thing is and dare to explain to you what that thing is. So all this thing, you will come to understand if you have done it in the past. That's why the word, you could have internalized them in your past life, is very true. Right? So I will read on. We want to cultivate ourselves to the point that right Dhamma is with us whenever we go. Yes, whenever you go, until it becomes a part of you. That's why you don't need to remember anything. You don't need to refer to anything, because you are like a walking encyclopedia. Because that understanding is with your nature, connected to your nature. So you don't have to remember anything. It's not from knowledge. It's not something that you can commit to memory. Your wisdom is not rigid. It's not a rigid knowledge. It's not something that you carry in the memory that you must remember. Your wisdom is an understanding. Understanding is not a knowledge. It's broad-based, non-rigid. It understands all the causes and conditions behind. That's why it can just manifest and unfold. No matter what the condition is, it will know. It will spontaneously move and echo and flow and act without having to refer to memory and all those things. It's not a knowledge, it's an understanding. And the understanding keep on arising to prompt you. That's why you will know how to act, you will know what to do. And your mind becomes so different. Transmutative mind. So this one is very true. We want to cultivate ourselves to the point that right Dhamma is always with us whenever we go. Then, not only can we apply the Dhamma in this life as we work with others, we can also bring it with us to our future. Like, this is very true. This is really true. That's why this sutra is very beautiful. Means, you not only can apply this teaching or the Dhamma in this life, as we work with others, we can also bring it with us to our future life. That's why you must know how to plant the seed of Bodhi, make the vow, aspiration, evoke our merits for causes and conditions for you to have this understanding life after life. So that whenever you arise in your future life, you will have this understanding. So spiritual cultivation is about carefully safeguarding our mind so that the pure Buddha mind and the right Dhamma will always be a part of us. Means you have to stabilize the understanding until it becomes very stable, very clear to you. Then it becomes a part of your nature. Means it can manifest anytime, anywhere, any place. Then I will read on so that you can understand. For countless kappas, and this one is very important, you better pay attention. For countless kappas, all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have constantly manifest in this world to teach. Actually, the word method should not be used, to teach the various type of spiritual cultivation by personal example. This is very true. Actually, it's not method. Your method never defined the meditation. The various type of cultivation. The cultivation they teach vary depending on the time and place. This is very true because the time, the place, and the people, and the condition, and the locality all can be different. It influences the condition at that time. Although there may be differences in their teaching, their essence, they use here the word purpose is not so appropriate. Their essence and core spirit are the same. To teach us so that we can all attain Buddhahood. And this one is very true. This is the purpose of this sutra of innumerable meaning. And that's why to go the Bodhisattva way, you must understand this teaching. The Buddha was born in ancient India, where he engaged in spiritual practice and gave teachings. He taught the Dhamma for more than 40 years, actually 45 years. He started by using the skillful means to teach the concept of emptiness and existence. Only when the conditions were ripe, when those with limited capabilities started to seek the great Dhamma. This one, I hope you understand. When the Buddha say, when those with limited capabilities started to seek the great Dhamma. These are referring to the sainthood way, those cultivating the sainthood way to become Arahant. So these are the one according to the Buddha, because he compared to the great beings, the Bodhisattva way. So he said, those with limited capabilities, they are able to enlighten their nature, free their mind, and end the segmented life. But their capabilities are limited in the sense that their understanding of the cultivation, the practices, the perfection, and how to teach and guide people, they are very limited. So that limited capability is very true. But when they have the condition to seek the great Dhamma, then it becomes different. When those with limited capability started to seek the great Dhamma, and all Bodhisattva from the 10 directions gathered to hear the teaching, did the Buddha begin to expound the Lotus Sutta. That's why the Lotus Sutta, Miao Hua Lian Hua Jing, is another very beautiful sutta. Before he did so, he deliberately manifests an infinitely dignified appearance, radiating light as he enters the samadhi of infinite meaning, in order to help everyone understand that the Dhamma he was about to teach was the great Dhamma. This was a very extraordinary occasion. So this is to explain how he started expounding this sutta, the sutta of infinite meaning. The Buddha expounded the sutra of infinite meaning as an opening sutta, means introducing the subsequent sutta. Before he taught the Lotus Sutta, yeah, this is very true, because the threefold Lotus Sutta, Fa Hua Sambu Jing, the first book was the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, then after that, the Lotus Sutta, then the Puxian Meditation Sutta. So these three books. That's why they always mention that this Sutra of Infinite Meaning is like an introduction or opening sutra before he taught the Lotus Sutta. Although its text is simple, the spirit contained in it is profound. It truly constitutes the essence of the Jingzi Dharma lineage. So these are referred to Ziji's Jingzi Xuan, the Jingzi Dharma lineage. They set up based on this teaching. So the spirit of the Lotus Sutta is very profound. It truly constitutes the essence of the Jingzi Dharma lineage. Therefore, it can help the seeds of our wisdom life grow. So this is to plant the seed of Bodhi. My teaching, that here refer to the author of the book, of the Jingzi Dharma lineage as a path of diligent practice and the Churchill School of Buddhism as a road of working with people are also derived from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. So based on this sutra's teaching, he started all this, the Churchill School of Buddhism and also the Jingzi Dharma lineage. As a road of working with people are also derived from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. The Buddha Dharma is inseparable from the phenomena of the world. Very true. Because Buddha Dharma is actually the whole teaching. The Buddha's teaching about truth. Is to understand the phenomenal world. So that's why it's inseparable from the phenomenal world. But the time and space in which the Buddha expounded the Sutra of Infinite Meaning were different from ours. In this world, change happened rapidly and continuously. This is the state in which unenlightened beings exist. Only the true Dhamma is everlasting and can respond to this ever-changing world without itself being changed. Therefore, we need to apply the true Dhamma in our spiritual practice. The process of spiritual cultivation is the continuous accumulation of merits and virtue. This one is also very true, because as you develop your spiritual practice, you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness, and purify your mind to develop wisdom. And with wisdom comes virtue. That's why the process of spiritual cultivation is a continuous accumulation of merits and virtue. So this is automatic, a natural consequence of what you do as you cultivate. So the author said, I often said merit is being humble in our hearts and virtue is being courteous to others. So the way you treat merits and virtue with understanding, you will be able to develop this deep understanding inside. So according to the author, he said, when you have developed all these merits, means all this goodness and wholesomeness, it will make you humble. So merit is being humble in your heart. You don't have the ego. That's why this type of merits, true merits, not tinted merits, can happen. Yeah, it's without the evil root. That's why it's without the ego. That's why it's merit is being humble in our heart. And virtue, when you have virtue, when you have real virtue born of wisdom, you become like very kind, very compassionate, very virtuous. Then you tend to have a lot of courtesy, respect for others. You treat people differently because there is love, there is compassion, there is genuine understanding. So all this is a natural consequence. Since we are practitioner, this one is referred to Chiji member of the Jingshi Dhamma lineage, we must cultivate, again, the virtue of sincerity, integrity, and faith, and diligence or steadfastness within ourselves is stressed upon. Because without this, you cannot progress along the path of Dhamma. So again, faith, sincerity, and diligence. They put in integrity is the same. When you have the sincerity, you are honest, integrity. When we carry the Buddha in our heart at all times, we will not easily commit transgressions. And we will be able to constantly maintain our pure intrinsic nature. So here you have to be careful when the author used the word, when we carry the Buddha in our heart at all times. Here the Buddha doesn't mean the physical Buddha, understand? The Buddha means the embodiment of his perfection of wisdom and virtue, means the Buddha's nature. So when you have the Buddha nature in your heart at all times, you will not commit transgression. And we will be able to constantly maintain our pure intrinsic nature, the Buddha nature. This is automatic, right? The Chöji school of Buddhism teaches us to cultivate loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity as we interact with others. By going among people to practice the Bodhisattva path, we will always live out the Dhamma in our action. The Jingshi lineage is a path of diligent practice. This means that as we cultivate our practice in the spiritual community of Jingshi, our goal is to diligently walk the Bodhisattva path. This is key. Pusatta, walk the Bodhisattva path. In addition to cultivating sincerity, honesty or integrity, faith and steadfastness or diligence within ourselves, we must also constantly exemplify the spirit of loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy and equanimity while interacting with others. Thus we establish the Chöji school of Buddhism, a road of working with people in the world. Since we have been able to hear the rare and precious Buddha Dhamma in this impermanent life, we should cherish it. Yeah, very true. Make good use of it and put it into practice. Then we can contemplate all worldly phenomena in the light of Buddha Dhamma. So I think we end in that. Yeah? Is it? Eh? Not yet. Oh, okay, then we better stop there. We better stop there. Okay. We will stop there. Because almost 10 o'clock already. So I will continue from there next. Thursday, upcoming Thursday. So this compassionate Bodhisattva are all great saints of the Dhammakaya. With meditative and still mind, they remain always in the state of samadhi. This is a quote from the Sutra of Innumerous Meaning. That's why it's very beautiful. Okay, so we will stop there. Then we will open up for meditation reporting and also Q&A.
Good evening, Brother Theo.
Yes.
Thank you, Sister Po Ching, for meeting. 其实我很开心听到 Po Ching 的 sharing last week. I mean, last Sunday, yes, yes. 从中我学习到很多。他的那份真诚和那份 sincerity 啊，哇，
yes.
真的很难得那个 mindset 哈 ，Virtue 哈，for 我的 cultivation， 我就是就是 live your life 咯，我觉得每天就是很踏实的过日子。
对。
对，就是每天 carry on 我的 duty， 然后就好像博清讲的，又有时间，就是 you know， 就是精进一点，学习更多这样子，还有就是自从我有那个 a glimpse of 那个 nature 之后，我的 meditation 很不同。就是那个很多很多的那个以前我听过，可是我不能明白的，我 suddenly 来明白。可是
能够明白了。
对，很就是好像就是明白 ，but 我要坦诚的承认的就是我还要慢慢去 refine upon， 就是去学习更多。对，对，因为他那个 habitual tendency 有时还是
还会重现出来，对，
是的 ，Virtue，
很好，很好，
感恩这一切，感恩佛陀的
佛陀，佛菩萨
，Virtue 的 teaching 和很用心的在教我们，就是该 Brad 就从开始讲的，我们要珍惜这个人生，就是还有把握这个时机，修行要及时，行善也要及时，就很积极的去做，然后我会好好把握这一时，然后这个就是我的 sharing， 阿弥陀佛，感恩，
阿弥陀佛 ，very good， thank you， so sadhu to Alicia to what。Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Also to Po Ching earlier on. So now maybe we get Adeline. Adeline, now is your turn.
Yeah,
Adeline.
Good evening, Brother, and all kinds of
us. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good session today. So, like I told you before, recently I've been studying Surangama Sutta. So knowing about more and more about how the mind is functioning, you know, with the teaching of Brother Teo, I don't think with the teaching of Brother Teo I can go into Surangama Sutta. Yeah.
Not easy to understand that one.
I've been,
a lot of people study as a theory, very theoretical.
Yeah,
but the actual understanding is very penetrative, very different.
I've been wanted to study about this, but last time I missed. I mean, I have not joined Brother Teo when Brother Teo is teaching Surangama Sutta. So I've been wanted, but I heard a lot of negative feedbacks. You know, so it's like. The timing is just perfectly right during this MCO, and with Brother Teo's teaching, it's so interesting. It's all about ourselves, you see. Especially with understanding of the five aggregates of form and mind, and dependent on originations. Mm-hmm. And only recently, during the Heart Sutta class, I managed to penetrate the 18 sense realm. Oh. Otherwise, last time it was, I couldn't figure it out. What is the six, you know? I can't even figure it out. Yeah. So only reason, during the MCO, so I managed to penetrate that. Oh, I see the link. And it was beautifully, right timing for me to go into this Surangama Sutra, yeah.
Mm,
and just now, we were talking about diligently engaged in this spiritual practice.
Really,
that really struck me, yeah.
Strike you very strongly, huh?
Mm. Yeah. Last time, a lot of things that Ratio said we're supposed to do, the religious routine and all these things.
Yes.
I don't really do it. Even meditation, last time at home, I can't meditate. honestly, this is one area that I really lack. Yeah. And only during classes or retreat, I can meditate. Also cannot meditate for very long.
Yeah, sadhya.
Yeah, so it's only
so MCO
this.
MCO help you, MCO you the condition.
Yeah, with the Zoom classes, and I started to meditate at home.
Yeah.
So it's like become a part of me already.
Yeah, sadhya, very good.
I wake up morning early in the morning during the beginning of the MCO already started.
Wow, very good, very good.
Why not treat it as a a retreat at home? So from there, I really see the mindfulness has a
developing. The daily mindfulness is very important. Cultivation is about being aware, mindful in the midst of life. To be heedful is the meditative state. So unless we are heedful, we are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. So that actually should sink in to cultivator's mind so that they know to diligently engage in heedfulness cultivation throughout the day is the real meditation, not just formal meditation, sit. Then after that, most of the time, heedless again, don't even know what is going on in life. And most of the time, heedless again, go back to the normal, heedless way of living life. But for those who are serious, who understand, they fully engage. That's why the daily religious routine will enable you to engage yourself and merge your cultivation into daily life, into the environment, into nature itself, then all of life becomes your practice. That's why life is your greatest teacher. So even career is meditation, household work is meditation, taking bath, brushing teeth, answering nature's call, doing your daily chores or routine is meditation. That is very important to understand. If you cannot see that, means you are still far from developing the real meditation. That's why those who go into daily mindfulness, they see the result. If you don't really go into daily mindfulness, you cannot see the result. Then the other day, I remember Christy, your daughter, came to my house. Then I told Sui, we are four of them. I said, why not join us for dinner? So he asked them. So one of them said he has to go back, the Zen from Klangaling. Then the other three say, should be okay. I said, Christy, he said, I must check with my parents first. He said, maybe my mom already cooked, or my dad already bought the lunch. I still haven't taken. We were out for the whole day. Then they bought their guitar. Huh? Both my daughter and Christy bought their very nice guitar. Not cheap. Oh, she doesn't know. Sorry. Never mind. I let Christy let you know. Then I told Christy, we go la. You tell your mom. Huh? You are joining Angga, Theo and Sui. They all should be okay. Then he said, now I cannot call. Is it? I said, why? He said, this time mom meditate. Wow, sadhu. Oh, he know. No. He said, oh, then I say, wait lah, wait till the meditation over. Maybe 6 o'clock. And then later on only she called. So which means, from what feedback I got from her, I mean, she also know that you meditate and what time. So all this is very beautiful. Yeah? Very good sharing for people who understand. That's why when she said that, my nature rejoiced. Because more and more Kayamita, because of the condition, the MCO, they actually went into the cultivation very seriously. Now, daily mindfulness has actually taken off in many beautiful ways by many Kayamita. Even Miss Lee also sees the beauty of that. And many people integrate Dhamma with their career, their life, like Kogdon Dale. And even those who go through life, sickness and other things, like Eric Tham, he now also recalled the Dhamma. And that is the source of understanding and inspiration to make him pull through and have the ability to fight the chemotherapy. And he recovered very well in his own words. So he was full of joy and he was very keen to share, he told me. I said, don't worry, let things be, the time will come. No hurry. When condition arise, situation arise, you will know. Then that is the time to share. Don't be too eager to share. Most important thing is I told him his own cultivation, develop it, stabilize it. Then when the condition arise, he can really help to share, because he go through that phase of life, the mind state with the karmic entanglement thing. Then how he has the good condition to encounter the Buddha Dharma, then the break free, the breakthrough. So all this understanding is very beautiful. And then you hear it from somebody who has gone through all this and recovered, you have more confidence in the Buddha Dharma. The faith, it becomes stronger. That's why all these are very beautiful understanding, very important condition for sharing. Okay, Adeline, you can continue. Sorry for interrupting. Yeah, Adeline, you can continue here.
So as the daily mindfulness more stabilized, you really can. Last time I think that I always tell that I'm very, how to say, choosing Dai. Yeah. I cannot see, because many of them say, I can see a very subtle, you know, all this, all that. I say, I cannot see one. But now, yeah, actually, I can see more of my, every moment of the action, speech, and thoughts. One day I was saying, wow, so easy to create bad karma.
Yeah,
it's so easy, you know. Once you move, I mean, every action, every speech, and every thought is so terrible, you know. Yeah. So, you know, we can easily create so many karma. That's why we are in the samsara now, you know.
Yeah.
Cannot be out of it. From there, I realized, wow, last time, Bharatio said mindfulness is very important. But now, I really see it.
Yeah.
Wow. It's really, really important in our daily life. Yes.
I maybe add in a bit, share deeper so that other people can also benefit. That's why mindfulness is very important, daily mindfulness especially. As you develop it, the stability of it, you become more sensitive. You are able to be more aware of what is going on within your own mind state. So the subtle greed, the subtle mental intention behind things that you never see before. Then you start to see, then you realize, so easy to break karma, so easy to have negative thought process, to violate karmic, because that habitual tendency, that subtle delusion has been going on for so long. Then through the awareness, you break it. Yeah, every time you're aware, the momentum of wrong thought, that negative thought breaks, because your awareness breaks it. Then you start to see, then you understand, then you reflect. And all this seeing come by itself naturally because of mindfulness, because of stability of daily mindfulness. It's just aware. Before that, you cannot see. You cannot understand. That's why you have to do it. You have to go through it, the daily mindfulness. You have to stabilize it. That's the reason why I say initially, don't try to know. Just do. Do until the sati come, the awareness come. Then you will understand. Because that sati will make you understand. The sati will be sensitive enough to see all this. To see and observe clearly how you react to sense experience. The subtle mental intention behind. The very, very subtle defilement, the fear, the hidden fear, all those things. This is not about the gross one anymore. This is the subtle one, the very, very subtle one, the slight dislike, the slight like reaction. You see them all. Last time you cannot see. Even you get angry and you scold people, you still don't know that you are angry. But this one, before that intention even come out, before that internal dialogue, it cannot just happen anymore because you saw it. What am I doing? What is all this? No more meaning. The initial wisdom, rupang anicang, rupang anatta, sankara anicang, sankara anatta, straight away from you, all these are sankara. My make are they? They are just the thought, egoic. Through sakkayaditti, delusion, you manifest. Then you get yourself entangled. Then your views, your opinion, your conditioning, that's how you become deluded. That's how you fall. You break karma. That's how you react to sense experience. Then as you see all this, you start to have the understanding to straighten your view, to see things as they are, to accept nature for what it is, condition like that, things are like that. That's why you start to contemplate, reflect, stabilize all this. Then later on, all this subtle movement cannot move anymore because of the yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So as you develop more and more of this stability and understanding, then you realize your mind becomes very quiet. It does not stir and react and chatter and dialogue like before. It does not kepo anymore. It does not comment anymore. It just smile. It just have joy. It just have the ability to accept the reality of the moment. That's how you progress. That's how the daily mindfulness come in and make a difference to your cultivation. And these are the more deeper understanding, the subtle understanding that normal people cannot teach because they themselves don't have the mindfulness to see all this, to understand all this. Then how can they share that type of Dhamma? Most of them have only Dhamma knowledge. And Dhamma knowledge is using logic, knowledge to rationalize, to teach it like a scripture. Means knowledge-based, thought-based, logic-based. So all this points out the big difference between mindfulness awareness-based cultivation and thought-based cultivation. Yeah, this one doesn't involve thought anymore. This one involves awareness, the awareness that see, reflect, contemplate, understand, then it straighten its view, then it become like automatic. Yeah. It just unfolding. It just have the ability to see things as they are, to observe. Silent observation. Choiceless awareness. Silent observation of what is the reality. Then it start to understand. Think it's just the way it is. Nature is like that. Condition like that. Things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. So I have to accept, means I have to accept the reality of the moment. What is, that is the reality. So when you accept, you are at peace. Then you realize the mind did not stir, did not react. It doesn't complain anymore. Unless you want to share something, unless you want to teach people something, unless there is condition to manifest. Otherwise, silent. You just smile. Accord and flow, at peace with all things. The ability to accept that reality, to be at peace with all conditions, is wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot be at peace. That's why Quang Ching Lao Sang say, 对也接受，不对也接受。无论如何都要忍住，忍住就是波罗蜜。It's very beautiful.That's why that monk say, when you reach the cultivation of understanding the truth, the reality, you will understand this very deep principle. You have to accept all things. Whether people say right or wrong, you also have to accept. That's why 对也接受，不对也接受。Why? Because right and wrong is relative truth.It's not ultimate truth. Right according to who? Wrong according to who? You never ask this question. So the reality is neither right or wrong. The reality is he is the way he is or she is the way she is. Condition like that, things will be like that. That's why deluded people say deluded things.There is no right, no wrong. But he is deluded. That's why he said deluded thing. But you say wrong because you cannot accept that he is deluded. Understand how? You want him not to say all this thing. You want him to be reasonable, polite, eh? Caring, kind. He is the way he is. You can't change him, understand how? Or her. So the reality is,understanding each and every condition behind each and every living things. When you understand, you can be at peace. So there is no more relative truth. Ultimate truth is just the reality itself, and the reality, no right, no wrong. You go beyond the duality of right and wrong. That's how you can be at peaceAnd that is the very profound deep dhamma that you need to evolve out and develop that understanding. That's why you need to contemplate, reflect. Then do it until you can be a part of that nature. Until you can accept all beings, all situations, all people. That's why you can be in such state. You can justapologize to people, no problem. I'm really sorry if I caused you any misunderstanding. Or pardon me, if I hear you wrongly or have misunderstood you, I would really like to ask for forgiveness. It's not my intent to be this way. So all this become very natural to you. It's no more about the ego to be right or wrong.Your intent is to resolve things amicably. so that there is no karmic negativity, so that both can move on, can come to terms with the reality. So the focus is to resolve issue amicably and move on. No more negativity. So that is the ultimate understanding and cultivation. So salute to you, Adeline, for bringing out the condition and all this sharing. And hopefully with this sharing, more and more people can benefit. Mm. Okay? Do you have anything else to add, Adeline?
Yeah, maybe leave it to next time. Actually, yeah, about realization recently.
Yeah, sadhu.
From this, the essence of infinite meaning, the understanding of how this action, speech, and thoughts, you know,
yeah,
really stir. So now I really appreciate this because the virtues.
Yeah.
That day when we went through the three chapters.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
Chapters of virtues and
correct.
I was really rejoicing. This is what we need to have. People say big heart. When you have a big heart, you don't dwell on all these small, you know, little things. This is compassion is so important. Yeah.
Sadhu. Very good. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Oh, okay, very good. So we keep your name on the board, and my daughter will go and write so that I know next sharing who will have the right to nominate people. So it's Alicia and Adeline. So sadhu.
Radio.
Alicia, 沙雕。
我觉得今天的 teaching 是很给我更深一层的 understanding。
很奥妙。沙雕。
还有就是我想跟 Radio 讲，最近我觉得我的好像那个 awareness 就是它很 automatic， 而且很。好像很 clear， 越来越 clear。
哇，很好，很好。
就是
讲。
感恩啊 ，Brad。
感恩 ，Sadhu。My nature rejoices。So 你能够 stabilize and 保留那个 awareness in the midst of life， 那个是最奥妙的。Most beautiful。cultivation，Sadhu。